In the Cradle of Terror, a series of subterranean tunnels beneath the town's Saren Flats, the four adventurers made their way to the alleged lair of the monster they sought. After hearing tales from the villagers, Branin, a cleric of Barbas, and his three friends and traveling companions agreed to slay the monster.
Do you think my dream was actually a message from Lord Barbas?
Wouldn't be here if I didn't.
Whether it was a prophetic dream or something you actually experienced, though.
Meaning what, Luke?
Do you really think that the gods wouldn't pull us to the ethereal realm to speak with us?
I wouldn't doubt that if a god sought to speak to us, they would bring us to the ethereal realm. It's just not something common. That said, we do have a monster to hunt.
We're in the tunnel. If there's a better way to hunt a fear monster thing, what is it?
I suppose focusing on fear to lure it?
Lucas looks around the area slowly.
Given the limited space here, we may want to wait until we're in an area where the cave widens and weapons can be safely handled.
If this thing is as bad as Bron said Barbas suggested, then a wider area would be good, just for the sake of being able to evade it better.
Do you think it can really turn into whatever we fear most?
Well, there are lots of creatures in the world. Knowing what some of them can do makes me believe it is possible.
That's an unnerving thought, really.
I am not looking forward to this. But who are we to decline the request of a god?
Especially a god who punished an entire village for offending him.
Oh, Barbas is a wonderful, loving god. Don't worry about anything he asks of his clergy.
Bron, you're a sweet guy, but that is hardly reassuring.
How is that not reassuring?
Because none of us are quite as attached to the god of fears as you are.
And the god's domain is creepy.
And he's making you hunt a beast made out of pure fear.
I don't think this monster can exploit my fears.
That hardly means good things for the rest of us.
Just don't worry. I know I can vanquish this monster.
Of course you're happy right now.
He is fulfilling a request direct from his patron deity.
I suppose that's true. You and Luke would probably be happy doing that too.
The small group walks through a passageway into a large open flat area. Aeson looks back at Lucas.
Luke, you've been quiet.
Lucas stared into the distance. The dark of the cave made him uncertain if he was seeing what he had thought was there.
Ari?
What?
Aeson watched as Ariana, Lucas's younger sister, approached the group. He remembered Ariana well, and something about her then in that moment was different.
Ari? What are you doing here?
Lucas's sister stopped. She stood facing her brother. The cheerful, whimsical gaze she always had was replaced by a hollow, lifeless heaviness. Her hair was no longer decorated with beads for the gods who she had a connection with, and she now wore a brooch. Lucas stared with incredulity at the brooch and the symbol carved onto its surface.
No. No, no, no. Ari, please, no.
Luke, is that the assassin's mark?
Assassin?
I think so. But that can't be.
Is it?
That can't be his sister, right?
Why couldn't it be?
Ari isn't an assassin. Luke fought tooth and nail to keep her safe from the assassins. He even considered trading himself for his sister at one point in the past. Ari wouldn't just give in like that.
But what if she did? They're assassins. There's no telling what they might do to somebody.
Well, even if she did, somehow, it's not like she'd hurt Luke.
Uncertain due to a lack of familiarity with the woman, Nyla nodded slowly.
If you say so.
But what if she would?
Brunnen turns and looks at his friends.
The three of you believe a mass of ether is Ariana? How is that fascinating?
Ari.
The woman standing in front of Lucas smirked and produced a dagger. Nyla, seeing the weapon, moves to push Lucas out of the way.
Luke, get back!
The creature still in Lucas's sister's form lunged at Lucas. Nyla caught the assassin's blade with a sword. The creature leapt backward. The creature turned towards Lucas once more. It hurried towards its target with a knife ready to gain.
Ori, no.
Brandon looks around at his surroundings. Colored clouds swirled around the area where he stood. There was no sound save for his thoughts.
I was just in bed, trying to sleep.
Yes, but now you are here.
Brandon turned around to confront the other person present.
I must be dreaming.
You are unfazed by this happening. How interesting.
So what are you referring?
The stranger turned and motioned toward an open area. An area of colored clouds disappeared and a pair of chairs, a table, and a tea kettle and cups were revealed. The person sat, and then he motioned to the empty chair.
Please, my courageous cleric, join me.
Lord Barbas?
Unless you have begun dedicating your life to another god.
Is this a dream? I must be dreaming.
Are you meaning to tell me that you are more interested in analyzing the situation than in hearing what I have to say to you?
Bronan sat across from the god, the blood which folded his hands.
My apologies, Lord Barbas, but it is hardly every day when you dream that a god is visiting you to speak with you, let alone your patron god.
Yes, and you seem to have accepted this happening faster than most would have. But off of that, I do have a task you would be perfect for completing.
Fear God begins pouring tea for each of them.
If you are interested in this undertaking...
Do I have a choice?
There is always a choice.
I will assume that I am interested in the task you have for me then. What can I do for you, my patron God?
I have created a being to punish blasphemous mortals, and they have since learned their lesson and now are grateful for my domain. This monster needs to be dealt with.
What sort of monster?
A Rugaru. A being that changes its form to make fears a reality.
You believe that I am the cleric best suited for the task of slaying this monster?
Of course. Your fears are most interesting.
They are?
A fear solidified in form is this monster's sustenance.
Both the mortal and the god fall silent. Each partakes in their beverages. After they finish their tea, the god speaks again.
Siren Flats. It is a small town you and your friends are approaching.
This is an odd dream, having tea with a god.
Ever since you were a child, you have only feared non-corporeal concepts. Fear itself, so to speak.
It made no sense to fear monsters when I could turn any injury into an attack.
Yes. And this is why you have proven so entertaining to watch.
Entertaining? Me?
We gods do enjoy watching what you do. Yes.
I suppose that makes sense.
With that in mind, head to Siren Flats. But do not expect a warm welcome.
Right.
Bronnen appears in his bed. The Blood Witch looks around the room with confusion.
Have a question. Aeson, wake up! I had the strangest dream!
Brannon watched his friends and the strange creature. He had been fixated on a possible strategy for handling the monster. He had hoped that a solution would suddenly occur to him and as a spark of inspiration.
How do I fight this creature? It is clearly feeding off of Luca and Nyla's fears. But if it is focused on them,
Nyla stood between Lucas and Ariana's form. She frowned as she eyed the creature. The creature stared Nyla down. It seemed to be deep in thought.
You may be Luke's sister, but I'll not let you hurt him.
She had already staved off several attacks from the creature.
Since Luke and Nyla are afraid of the same thing, the creature switching focus between the two of them is certainly not going to disrupt what it does, nor how.
Bronnen looks at Aeson.
As unsettling as a prospect of Ariana being a contract killer can be to him, I do have a good idea of what Aeson's greatest fear is. That may at least be less dangerous to put down. Certainly less traumatizing.
Ari, why would you hurt Luke? You know he loves you.
Ari, please. Please, no. Don't do this.
The creature remained unfazed by the pleas of those around it.
Don't you take a step closer. Stop now and we can help you.
Aeson, snap out of it and step in front of Luke and Nyla, please. I do not want to appear to murder Luke's sister.
Huh? What will that do except get me killed?
Bronnen drew his knife. He sliced open his palm.
It will break the spell on Luke and Nyla.
Oh, that would be good. Yeah.
Aeson hurried and moved in front of the monster. He watched while the image of Ariana disappeared.
Oh, that was a good idea. And a relief.
What is this, Ari?
What just happened?
Bronn said that you two were what the monster was using.
And how did you get rid of it?
By doing what Bronn said and standing in front of you two. Why?
Oh, this cannot be good.
Why not?
If that wasn't my sister, and it was the monster, where is it?
That's a good question.
The Cleric of Mayor began to scan the room, looking for the creature that had moments ago looked like a charger's sister.
What do you mean? Didn't I scare it off?
Somehow, I don't think so.
So, where did it go?
Aeson turned around and looked at a shadowy figure. The figure slowly moved toward the small group.
Found it.
Oh, what is it? Is that what it actually looks like?
And more to the point, is it something we can put down?
I don't know.
What is it, though?
I hardly think that matters. How are we going to fight against something that can change its appearance like that?
Carefully, unless...
Nyla looked towards Bronnen, who had been quite silent.
Bronn, do you have some sort of plan here?
I have faith that Barbas chose me for this for a reason.
Yeah, that's helpful.
I'm sure I'll think of something.
Well, if you'd like to think a little bit faster, it would be nice.
Just prepare to fight off whatever it becomes next. I'll think of something.
That is not comforting or helpful.
The monster drew closer to the group of adventurers. Its form was once again a mortal one. When Aeson took in its form, a man grasping a potion bottle in one hand and a knife in the other, his gaze narrowed.
It's you!
Aeson?
He really doesn't like alchemists.
I recall, but...
Yes, Nyla?
I've just never seen him this angry.
Well, I am certain this is about to...
The alchemist drank the potion.
Please don't tell me this is the entirety of his fear.
The alchemist's shape shifted further. Multiple tendrils made of darkness protruded from the figure's body.
Whoa.
Just had to tempt Sadat, didn't you, Luke?
It's not as though I had intended that.
Brannon looked down at the blood that had pooled in his palm. Droplets trickled onto his boots. He looked up at the terrifying form the fear monster had taken now.
Well, that does not bode well for us. Why does the thief with no formal education have such a vivid imagination for monsters that go bump in the night?
I told you alchemists were evil!
So, this thing is supposed to shift into our worst fears, meaning... Thanks, Aeson. I think I'd have preferred having to fight Luke's sister over whatever this thing it's become is.
So you make it turn into something that you fear, then!
Perhaps we should stop arguing and, well, attack it?
Right. We can argue later.
The cleric of Mera examines the creature as thoroughly as she can from where she stood.
Where is this thing most vulnerable?
Well, we could attack it and see what happens. Growth and expansion are your greatest gifts.
Lucas conjured a ball of lightning around his hand.
If this doesn't work, we need to be ready to run.
Aeson began backing away from the monstrous alchemist.
That won't be a problem.
Nyla glanced briefly at Aeson before shaking her head and shifting herself into a combat position.
Ready whenever you are, Luke.
Yes, well, my additional plan here is to use a blinding light and then we all run.
Yes, do that!
Well, Aeson likes this idea. Nyla, Bran?
I'm open to you trying it so we can make a new plan.
Right, you do that. I am still working on my own plan.
All right, here goes nothing.
Lucas threw the ball of lightning at the monster. He took a step backward. The Rogueru shrieked in pain.
That seemed to have worked. It's not immune to magic.
Why would it be?
After seeing my sister here, I don't know what to expect.
And it was created by a god, so who knows what tricks it has up its... sleeve? Is that appropriate here?
It's not as though a monster is going to be offended at your phrasing. Or any more offended than that by being blasted with magic. Growth and expansion are your greatest gifts.
Lucas created another orb of lightning. He immediately tossed it at the monster. After being hit with a second magical attack, the beast hurried forward. The color drained from Lucas's face.
Oh, no.
Without a moment's hesitation, Nyla moved to intercept the beast, swinging her sword at the center of its mass.
Don't you touch him!
Luke, why did you do that?
The hopes of injuring it so we could put it down? The same reason I always do that to monsters.
Now the evil alchemist wants to kill us!
Is there any chance the three of you could move?
Nyla, still trying to hurt the monster, looked to Brannon.
What are you planning?
To hide you all behind me.
Brannon narrowed his gaze. He glared at the monster. He then began moving his fingers in a rhythmic tempo. The blood had pooled in his palms and his boots took the form of tethers. Aeson looked at Brannon.
You don't have to tell me twice.
Aeson hurried to stand behind Brannon.
Good idea, Bran. Growth and expansion are your greatest gifts.
Lucas readied another lightning orb. He turned and rushed toward the Blood Witch. Nyla frowned but fell away from the creature to join the others.
I hope whatever you have planned will work.
I know why Barbas chose me for this now.
That's great and all. And we'd love to hear your reasoning. But let's kill this thing before it kills us.
Go ahead. Hit it with the magical attack.
Lucas threw the ball of lightning at the monster's face. Brannon's tendrils of blood were then wrapped around the monster's limbs. The charging beast was hit with a lightning attack, and then it hit the ground. The force of the monster's fall shook the area. The beast was then reeled towards Brannon slowly. Brannon stared without blinking while the monster was dragged across the rocky terrain.
Bran is about to be creepy, isn't he?
That is a safe assumption.
Creepy? How creepy?
He is using his own blood as a weapon. And it will get worse.
Alright then.
Now, you're going to focus on me, monster. You are going to look into my eyes. And you are going to seek the fear within me as your sustenance.
Ronan continued dragging the monster toward him.
See?
Nyla nodded without a word, aware that what was about to happen would almost certainly shake most mortals to their core.
He is a Barbas cleric. And just what makes him so devoted to the God of Fear is truly apparent at times like this.
Yeah, he's creepy, all right.
Well, well, well. You look confused, monster.
When the monster was face to face with Brannon, the witch stopped pulling on the blood tethers.
But you need to change forms now. There is nobody else here for you to look at, to feed on their fear.
The monster looked at the Blood Witch. It stared and narrowed its gaze. Its stare became a glare. It took a deep breath and smelled the mortal man that ensnared it.
That's right! There is nothing here!
The monster bellowed loudly. As quickly as it appeared, it was gone.
That's it?
That seems anticlimactic. Not that I'm complaining.
Yeah, well, this stupid evil alchemist monster is gone. That's good.
You okay, Bran?
I think so.
You didn't lose too much of your blood?
What? No, I'm fine.
The Blood Witch fell forward. Lucas grabbed Brannon before he collapsed.
He will never learn.
He really won't. Set him down, so I can try to heal him.
Lucas gently placed Brannon on the ground.
After you heal him, we should get to town. He'll need to eat and drink a lot when he wakes.
Right. But first, we make sure he doesn't die on us before we get there.
That's all well and good, but why didn't it become some monster or Ari again when Bronn looked at it?
I have an idea. But that may be best answered by Bronn.
Nyla knelt down next to Bronn. She placed her hands over his torso.
Life, death, and rebirth, as you wish it to be.
The palms of Nyla's hands began to glow with healing magic granted by her patron goddess, Mehra. After a moment, she pulled her hands away and stood up.
Okay, that should be sufficient to make sure we can get him to town to care for him properly.
Lucas scooped up Bronn.
Let us go, then. We need to get ready for his recovery.
Right.
After having spent the night sleeping and the day resting, Brannon sat in the tavern. He was contemplating everything that had happened. A sudden burst of cold air made the witch shiver briefly. He was caught up in his own thoughts while he remembered all of the events of their encounter with the Rogaru. Hazen set down a teacup before Brannon. He looked up from his reverie.
What's this?
The barkeep said somebody wanted to give you that.
Brannon looked down into the cup.
Tea?
I guess so.
Brannon looked around the tavern. He became ashen when his eyes fell on the form he remembered of the god from his dream.
What's wrong?
Barbas approached the table where Brannon and Aeson sat. The god of fear smiled.
See? I told you could do it.
It was an honor to serve you, Lord Barbas.
What?
Oh, relax, young High Elf. I am not here to torment you.
Aeson stared with incredulity at the god.
Your lack of fears that have a form and substance make you perfect for putting down Rugarus. If only more of my clergy were like you.
Thank you, Lord Barbas.
Now, let's hope this town truly has learned its lesson. If not, I may have to think up something worse than a Rougarou that is bound to this place.
I suppose time will tell.
Goodbye, my mortal child.
Barbas patted Brannon's head affectionately. The guard then disappeared.
Is that what?
Yes, that happened. Yes, Lord Barbas is far nicer than you'd expect from the God of Fear.
He made that thing to punish these people? What could they have done to deserve that monster?
Lord Barbas is a god. Do you really want the answer to that question?